Okay, so I'd like to talk to you tonight a little bit about finding our identity. So I'd like to know in here, who has an identity? Who has an identity card, a form of identification? Have one? I've got one. What do you have? I have a driver's license. So what form of identification do you have in your wallet?
I don't.
No form of identification?
Not my wallet.
How about at home? Form of identification. School ID?
How many people have a school ID?
School ID. Raise your hand. Awesome. Who has a birth certificate? We all should have our hands up. Okay. Forms of identity. Forms of identification. What? No, you shouldn't keep that one on you. How about a social security card? Yeah, you probably got one of those. Brother Jacob's got his license back there. How about a passport? Anybody got a passport? Okay. Some of you got... These are all forms of identification. What do these tell us about you? They tell me who you are? What do they tell me? Specifically, what do they tell me? Weight, birthday, your name, what else? Height, eye color. What about your birth certificate? What's it going to tell me about you? Your parents' names. So where you were born, where you currently live. What else? What about if you're male or female? That's probably true. What about your... Mine does. I'll just say. The old timers. What country you live in. Your social security number might be on some of these. So these are all characteristics about you. But is that your identity? Is that who you really are? That is my lesson. Finding our identity. Do these characteristics tell us who you really are? Why or why not? If my driver's license tells you that I have brown hair, in a few more years, that is not going to be true. I am well on my way to what color?
Salt gray.
Salt and pepper gray. If Brother Steve's driver's license tells you he has brown hair, you're going to laugh. Why are you laughing? Because he has no hair.
Once upon a time it did.
Once upon a time. I remember a few years ago, I lost like 25 or 30 pounds. And so I had to renew my driver's license. And I was so excited because I get to put on there that they would say, do you weigh the same thing? And you're like, no, that's not true. I can't say a lie. So now I'm like, I get to go in and I get to give them this new number. And they said, oh man, we don't put weights on driver's license anymore. I said, you've got to be kidding. I've been living for this day when I could tell you that I weigh 25 to 30 pounds less. Oh, well, man, that's nice. Okay. She wasn't excited. I was excited. So that characteristic, you know, we know that sometimes our weight goes, maybe you, most of your youth don't have that problem. Just give it time. Give it time. So that characteristic isn't really telling me who I am. What about my address? Does that tell you who I really am? I've lived on Dayton Road. I've lived on Grafton Road. I've lived on 11th Street. I've lived on Stony Hill, and I now live on Wilkins Run. It's changing. Does that mean that I'm not the same person? What about my name? My name used to be Sherry. Anybody know? Conger. It's not Sherry Conger anymore. It's Sister Sherry Sterlecki.
I said Cummings.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay. We got to go back one more. One more husband there. That was my stepdad. So my name has changed. Some of you sisters, your name will be changing. We got a lot of weddings coming up. Ooh, there's going to be some name changes. These characteristics do not define who you really are. I was thinking about, actually, Brother Landon actually just asked me about my grandfather, Brother Cleve Green, and I have this in my notes. I was about 5 or 6 when my grandfather passed away. So the characteristics that Grandpa Green knew me by was a small little girl, brown hair. Not a whole lot is similar to who I am today. My father died when I was expecting Natalie. So he didn't know. We didn't actually hadn't told anybody yet. So my grandfather nor my father knew me as a mother or a grandmother or a youth leader. Now, those are characteristics that you all know me by right now. But they didn't know me by that. Sometimes I like to think, this is a complete aside from the lesson. Sometimes I like to think when we get to heaven, how are we going to know each other? if my grandfather passed away when I was five, when grandpa sees me in heaven, how's he going to know me? God must have some amazing way that we're going to know each other, regardless of the age that we were when we knew each other here on earth. That's a whole nother question for another time. Questions I have, Sister Victoria. We have a few. We are our mother's daughters. So I think about, who am I really? Who is the real me? I think middle school, at least in our family, for me and my girls, I think middle school has probably been the most challenging. Who's in middle school right now? Raise your hand. All right, I feel like those are the most challenging years because you're not really sure who you are. You're not really sure where you're going. You're not really sure where you're going to end up, what you're supposed to do with your life, who you're supposed to do it with. And you're trying to figure out who you truly are. And if we're not careful, we'll start to try to create an identity. If I would fit in, if I would change how I look and how I act and what I do and fit in with the crowd, I could become a person that everybody likes or is popular. And you could be trying to create an identity that's not the real you. Some try to reinvent themselves. You might say, well, I want to look good or I want to be successful. I'll be accepted by people. They'll think that's the real me. But is that the real you? Then I think about feelings. We are in a feeling-based culture. Seems like a lot of what's going on is driven by how I feel. And so if I don't feel that's the truth, it's not my truth. Is that true? If you don't feel that way, that's not your truth. Does that change truth? Truth can't change. But too many people are basing things on feelings. They begin to believe the real me based on feelings. For instance, I'm ugly. Are you really? I would say to your mother, you are absolutely beautiful. There are, maybe to you, you look in the mirror, I'm 12, I'm 14. No, you're not 12. There's no 12-year-olds in here. I'm 13. I'm 15. I'm ugly. I'm too much this. I'm not enough that. And so you begin to create an identity in your mind based on how you feel. I can't ever get anything right. I'll never get married. I can't find a girlfriend. I can't find a boyfriend. And so those feelings begin to change your perception of you. Feelings, are they dependable? Are feelings dependable? Who's felt sad? Who has felt happy? Raise your hand. Who has been depressed and excited and scared and worried and anxious and sometimes all on the same day? Who, sisters especially, has ever found yourself bawling your eyes out and you really don't know why? Do not base who you really are and make life decisions on that. My mother used to always say, go to bed, it'll be a lot better in the morning. And she was right. Feelings do this. We can't base who we see ourselves as, who we understand that we really are. See, our identity's right here in our head. It's not in our wallet. That's just a piece of paper or a piece of identification to help me out if I need to get on an airplane or if I get stopped and I'm getting a speeding ticket. That's what that's for. That's not who I really am. Who is worried about something and then it all worked out? You're like, worried for nothing. Have you ever noticed on cloudy, cold days you are more down than on warm, sunny days you're more up? There's a song about that, right? Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. I used to sing that to myself on rainy Mondays on the way to school. I'm like, yeah, it's a real thing. Understanding who we are has got to go so much deeper than what we feel. But when we're teens, and guys, there's hope. Ladies, there's hope. Those feelings do settle down, thank the Lord, as you get older. But man, when you're a teenager, it's just up and down. Some of you are a little more like this. In our family, we had some kids that were like that, and we had some kids that were, like this. And I know one of our children, she said, Mom, I had so much going on in here and I just didn't know how to handle it. So we got to be really careful that we don't allow that to influence our understanding of who we really are. Think about identity theft. My sister has a very common name. All of my sisters actually have pretty common last names, but especially Tammy Green. I said, Tammy, if you would have married somebody like Strelecki, to my knowledge, there's no other Strelecki's, Sherry Strelecki's in the United States. And I do a little, you know, Google search. I'm the only one. But she's had her medical records mixed in with another Tammy Green. And she's had her financial records mixed in with another Tammy Green. So you read about sometimes these identity theft or identity mix-ups that are problematic. Did you know that the devil's trying to steal your identity? Did you know that? Not this identity right here in my wallet. Not this one. Although if I had that one stolen, I'd be very traumatic. It'd be very stressful. He's trying to steal your understanding of who you are. And that's right in here, in the mind. He's trying to steal it from you. So let's learn about who is the real us. Because the best way to combat the enemy is with knowledge. Knowledge is power. Understanding is power. So who are you? We have to base this on facts, not the feelings that we talked about that are always doing this number. Facts do not change. Let's consider some facts. Now tonight, we're going to touch just lightly on what we're going to study about in the Senior Youth Bible Study 2 weeks from yesterday. So be sure and come to that. We're going to study about man being made. Mankind is made up of three parts. So tonight, let's talk about that. What three parts make us? Tell me one. Body, soul, and our spirit. So we are made up of three parts. Which one is the real you? It is the soul. We've already talked about how my body changes. If I could have brought a picture, Brother Steve loves to show you guys pictures of him when we were dating. If we had time, he could pass it around. We do not have time. He gets really excited because you probably wouldn't recognize him. If 16-year-old Brother Steve, who was quite a cutie, I have to say. I know. If he would walk in here tonight, I'd be the only one that would recognize him. Because the body changes. So the body's not the real you. It is correct. It is the soul. And we won't take time tonight to go through exactly what the body, soul, and spirit do. But you have a body. This belongs to me. I was given this body. But I am a soul. The soul is the real me. There's going to be a day I'm going to lay this body down, but I will not cease to exist. Let's look at a couple of scriptures about that. Job 10 and 11 says, thou, talking about God, has clothed me with skin and with flesh. So if God gave me skin and flesh, there had to be a me before there was a body. That was who I really am. Jeremiah 1 and 5 says, before I formed you in the belly, before you were formed in your mother's stomach, I knew thee. Before he put you together with bones and skin and flesh, there was a you. That's the real you. This body is your world consciousness. You would not be able to hear me talking if I didn't have a body. I wouldn't be able to see you if I didn't have eyes to be able to interact with this world. So as long as I'm in this world, I need this body. That's why God gave me a body. That body is not the real me. So identity crisis. You hear about people have an identity crisis. Usually it's more like it, Brother Steve and I's age, or maybe the last decade, maybe the 40s. People have identity crisis. They're not really sure who they are. But I think sometimes we have those in our teen years too. Who am I? Is God really real? Is this church the right church? Are my parents telling me the truth? Where'd God come from? A lot of questions. Brother Decker mentioned that one yesterday. Then, like, questions like, what do I really believe? You ever wished you were someone else? Oh, if I could just be Susie Cucumber. She has everything going for her. She's got looks, and the guys love her, and that's not all it's cracked up to be. You ever wished you had a skinny body, or maybe you were a little taller, or you had a different mom and dad because yours are driving you crazy, or different siblings, maybe different house, different dog, no dog. That's another story. By the way, Max is starting to grow on me. It's an amazing thing. If we do not know who we are, we'll be tempted to take the wrong actions. We'll be tempted to have the wrong friends. Reject the Bible. Reject church and what our parents are telling us. maybe make decisions about this body God gave us to reinvent ourselves. Facts can change our feelings. So I think about, maybe just real quick, I'm going to write on the board. Three things here. We have facts. We have feelings. And we have actions. And too many times, a lot of our life decisions are based on the feelings, how we feel about something. And we need to go further back. We need to go to facts. Facts are like a solid foundation, like rocks, a big rock that you're building your house on. It will not move. It's something that you can depend on. Let me give you a fact. Is that a fact?
It's five.
2 + 2 = 4. Is that true? Is that a fact?
Yes.
How do we know?
It's
how do we know? You've been taught that. If I had 2 apples and 2 apples and we counted them, we would get to what number?
4.
You take that into higher maths. You take that into algebra. 2 + 2 always is going to equal 4. Has it ever equaled anything else? In my math education, it did not. I don't know. New math maybe changes things. But I think we can all agree 2 + 2 = 4. That is a fact. You got to learn that probably in kindergarten or first grade because you're going to build on it. You're going to go to higher maths. You're not going to always stay in the single digit addition. This fact, you can put this into practice. Let's talk about some Bible facts. These are things we need to know when we're trying to figure out our identity. Who am I? What am I supposed to do with my life? What is my purpose? What God make me for? Not this body, but that person in here. Number one, you are loved by God. When you begin to understand that you are precious in His sight, you are a precious possession, you look at yourself a little more differently. I'll just be frank. When I finally got a boyfriend at the old age of 14, I know it is crazy. I thought I was so old. And when I had a 14-year-old, I'm like, what was I thinking? I felt kind of special. This boy just tells me how wonderful I am whenever we were allowed to talk, which was rarely ever. Couldn't sit together. Thank the Lord for strict parents. And when he would just tell me how wonderful I was and that he cared for me, that just really made me feel good about myself. And then when we got married and he continues to show me how much he loves me, that really helps me to feel better about myself. But even greater, and that's the greatest love you'll experience, in my opinion, you'll ever experience on this earth, physically, greater than that is to know that God loves you. Out of billions of people, he knows your name. You're special to him. He created you with a purpose. Isaiah 43:4 says, you are precious in my sight, and I have loved thee. Isaiah 49:16 says, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. No doubt that's where that song comes from. My name is written. You wrote something on your hand. What happens? You see it all day long. How cool to think that not just my name, but it's like he's graven a picture of me and you on the palms of his hands. We must be really special to God. That helps us to have a better understanding of our identity, who we actually truly are. Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. By the way, sisters, you too, not just men. It's the sisters that are created in his image too. What does that mean? You're created in God's image. So I was thinking about, we look like God. Does God have a body? Evan, never be afraid to speak up because I like participation. So please, you're thinking with me. And you know what? Honestly, the first time I read that scripture, I think we look like God, which is kind of weird because some of us look like brethren, and some of us look like sisters, and some of us are heavy, and some of us are thin, and some of us are tall, and some of us are short, and some of us have brown hair, and some of us have this beautiful red hair. Well, then what does God look like? Oh, wait a minute. Maybe it's not the body. Maybe it's something else that we're made in the image of God. So I was thinking about a cookie cutter. I've completely lost. Oh, there we go. This cookie cutter is in the shape of what?
Ohio.
Ohio. And if I use this, I want my cookies to look like what? Ohio. So I'm using that cookie cutter. Now, I know that God doesn't have a body, but let's use something physical to maybe help us understand this a little bit. So if I put dough only in half of it, stick it in the oven, is it going to come out in the image of Ohio?
No.
What about if I cut out and I let all this dough hang over the edge and we got this big blob? I always laugh when I roll out tortillas. They're supposed to be round, and mine always look like the shape of Idaho. I do not know why. It's always like, Jessica's like, Mom, I said, I don't know. Yeah. So if we let that dough hang out, is it in the image of Ohio? That dough has got to perfectly conform to this mold, doesn't it? So what is the image of God? Because he doesn't have a body. We can't look like him. Ephesians 4 and 24 says the image of God is righteousness and holiness. Oh, that must be talking about our soul. Because the body is not to be holy. It's the soul that has to be holy. God doesn't have a body. But when sin enters in, now think about this. When God made you in his image, this beautiful little baby came into this world. It was pure. No sin. Righteous. Holy, made in the image of God. Then we came to the age of accountability, and all have sinned and come short. So we leave God, we sin, we do something that we shouldn't, we're disobedient. Then we're spilling out of that form. Our flesh is spilling out. We're doing what we want to do. We need salvation. We need to get back into that form. Holiness, righteousness. That's the image of God. And till we get back to that, we're going to be very confused about who we really are because we're spilling out. And just like if I were to bake this with dough hanging out, you would have no idea what state it was. You'd think California or New Mexico or something. You probably wouldn't see Ohio. So we need salvation to make our soul righteous and holy. This is why we are going to struggle to understand who we really are if we do not have a relationship with Christ. If we have not given ourselves to Christ, if we are not saved and living for God, you are going to really struggle. We all are going to have we're all going to have some degree of struggle because that's part of our growth as we begin to get to know God in a greater way and understand his purpose for us. But if you're on a completely different path and you have chosen not to live for the Lord, I can guarantee you, you're going to struggle with your identity. Too many people are trying to find their identity in the wrong places. Trying to find out who they really are, and they're going to the wrong places. The only place we can go is to the Word of God and to God to find out. A couple years ago, I lost my driver's license. And we were going to fly in just maybe a month or two, so I was getting pretty nervous about where that license was at. Now, do you think that I should have went to the White House in Washington, D.C. to find my license? Well, that don't make sense. What about Cedar Point? Because I hadn't been to Cedar Point for a long time. So that wouldn't make a lot of sense, would it? What about Elder Bierman? Oh, by the way, I don't shop there. Just don't. So that wouldn't have made a lot of sense for me to go to Elder Bierman and look for my driver's license, would it have? What about Sheets Gas Station? Again, I don't think I have been there. If ever, although I hear it's a really great place to get food, so I may have to try that. If I have not gone to those places, should I be looking for my driver's license in those places?
No.
No. Where am I going to find my driver's license?
In pocket.
Where I left it. It was actually the bank. I don't know why they didn't call me up. Mrs. Strzelecki, we've been holding on to this for like 3 weeks. You might need it. I finally remembered where I left it. And if we are struggling with our identification, our identity, who we are, we might need to stop and think, you know what? Where did I leave it? Because more than likely, if you've got off of that highway of holiness, if you've got off the path that God has for you, you've been disobedient to parents, you failed to do something that you were supposed to, you have lost sense of your identity. And we're only going to begin to understand that when we go back to where we lost it. We need to ask for his forgiveness and build a relationship with God. Young people, the devil is trying to steal your identity. Identity theft, on the literal sense, is pretty challenging to try to overcome. But how much worse if he can steal your identity from you? Your understanding that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you have a purpose, that God made you for a purpose. You are loved. You are his child. You are here for a reason. Beware of the enemy's tactics. But Steve and I said that over and over and over in the Revelation lessons. We are studying the devil's playbook. He's trying to steal your identity. Let's be aware of it. I keep my identity in a safe place. I check on it, make sure it's still there. What are we doing with our identity, our understanding of who we are? We have to get into the Word. We have to come to church and listen. What is it that God is saying to me about who I am and what I'm supposed to do with my life? Thank you for being a good audience. I'm going to turn this back over to Brother Steve.